Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for the salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying for their past, present, future spouses. We're praying for all the children they have now in the future and family members, all grandchildren they have now in the future family members, all great-grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members. By faith, Father, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Oh, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And then, Father, you'll get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church, that then be baptized in water, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're declaring for every Christian to become a strong Christian serving you faithfully. Every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person will be set free. And yes, Lord, all the sick would be healed from every sickness and every disease. And Lord Jesus, your people would receive and walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for that right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we pray for the Jewish people. We love the Jewish people so much. We're praying for their salvation. We pray that you remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds, and they would see, Lord Jesus, that you are their Messiah, Savior, and Lord. They'd repent and get born again from above, Holy Spirit baptized and filled, and living for you. Father, according to your word, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. According to your word, we declare they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Restore all that land to them, and we decree there will never be a two-state solution, and that is an abomination in your sight. Also, Father, we declare that if anyone tries to harm the nation of Israel, Jewish people, you would stop them, and if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And also, Father, we just want to praise you with all our heart that you put your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance into the White House. Thank you for removing the Satan's kingdom. And thank you, Father God, that now you would establish righteousness in America. And we're not just praying for them, but we're praying for all Trump's cabinet appointees, past, present, future, and their family members. Again, salvation for each and every one of them. Also, we pray, Father, that they would make every decision based on the Word of God and our Constitution, Father. Father, and you would protect them and give them great boldness to do all your good pleasure. And we thank you for it by faith. Also, Father, we continue to need your mighty hedge of protection about our power grid, our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Please also protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city waters. Please protect, Father, our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Father, don't let anyone poison, hack, diminish, or harm any of these resources in any way, shape, or form. And if anyone tries to do it, Father, you would stop them. Also, we agree together there will be no centralized digital currency until after the rapture of the church, and the dollar bills and cash will be strong until that time. And also, Father, we agree you are destroying, you are annihilating every monkeypox virus, bird flu virus, every virus that they're creating in those bio labs. You're destroying the viruses, Father. You're destroying and burning down the bio labs, and you're destroying and annihilating every vaccination that has been and is created to maim, kill, and destroy people. And we agree for that right now. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare today. You know, the Bible tells us we have to fight the good fight of faith. And some people don't understand spiritual warfare, so hopefully we can maybe teach you something today. In Matthew chapter 4, you know, just before Jesus was going to start his great ministry, notice what happened. Matthew 4, 1. Then was Jesus led by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. The devil is real. Of course, if you're a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, you deal with him daily. So, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter, who's the tempter? That's the devil. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, here's a key. Here's how you defeat the devil too. What does Jesus say? It is written. He quotes the word of God because Jesus knows the word of God is absolutely true and perfect and righteous and will destroy Satan's kingdom and also destroy the cults and isms and secret societies. Do you got it? Okay. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's for you and I, right? Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now see, Satan uses the word of God too, but he misquotes it. He abuses it. Same true all the cults and isms and secret societies. Do you got it? Okay. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, notice this, it is written. Here's what God says. Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Stupid devil. Jesus is God. He's not going to worship the created fallen angel, the devil. Isn't that ridiculous? That's how the devil is. He is ridiculous. Verse 10. Then Jesus said unto him, begone, Satan, for it is written. Always the word of God. Come back to Satan with the word of God because he fears the word of God. The word of God will defeat him. And we'll learn more about that in a minute. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Do you know you have holy angels that watch over you? Especially if you're a believer. Say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we see that before Jesus gets started in his great ministry, he had to deal with the devil. Do you know in your life, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, you have to deal with the devil too? In fact, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, writing to Christians, those who are already saved, heaven is their home, they're serving Jesus. Paul tells them, which means God tells them, we're in a war, and you have to have an armor to put on. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, Christians, people already saved, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not only is that a command, but because of the grace of the God and the Holy Spirit, you are commanded to be strong in the Lord. Amen? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. I would recommend you do it every morning and put fresh armor on before you go to bed at night. Just a suggestion. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, why? I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Here it is. That you might be able to stand against the wiles. Let's expand that. Stratagems, trickery of the devil. And can I tell you, and if you've been a Christian very long, he's a tricky devil. He does things you don't think he can do. Sometimes you get surprised at how dirty and nasty and sly and cunning he is. But again, we have an armor. We can win. And God makes it quite clear. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's people with bodies. That's you and I, right? But against principalities. Oh, that's the third of angels that fell with Satan. He has principalities too that follow him. against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the real battle. Your battle is against Satan and those in his kingdom. And yes, people who are demon-possessed or controlled by Satan, they seem to be the enemy. And they need to get saved and delivered and healed and set free. And God wants to use us to do that. But they are a problem. Okay. Wherefore, in light of this, take, which means it's not automatic, take it for yourself. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. There's different times that Satan has different specific assignments against you. And it seems like all hell is coming against you. Misunderstandings, problems. It can be very difficult. The evil day. But you don't have to lose. And having done all to stand, you don't run away. You stand in the victory that Jesus won for you on the cross. Remember Colossians 2, 14 and 15? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It is the cross. Jesus defeated and humiliated Satan on the cross once and for all through his death, burial, and resurrection and his precious blood. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So, take that whole armor of God and stand in the battle. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, we know that God is the God of truth. We know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And we know the Bible tells us we're supposed to tell the truth and speak the truth in love. So do that when you put on your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, I recognize that when I got saved, my sins were placed upon Jesus and were washed away. And he declared me righteous. And I have received righteousness by my faith in Jesus Christ. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, Jesus is our peace, but he called us to be peacemakers. We are supposed to share the gospel everywhere we go. We need to be prepared every day to share our faith in Jesus Christ. So we shod our feet with the preparation and gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And notice that's an all-encompassing shield of faith that covers us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Total protection. You hold up that shield of faith. Now, why would I need to do that? Here it is. With which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts? I've never seen a fiery dart. No. Fiery darts, just like the armor is invisible, and yet it's real. The fiery darts are invisible, but they're real. Words spoken by yourself or others that aren't right. Ungodly thoughts received and believed. Remember, the battle's for the mind, and that's why you have to bring every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10, to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Satan tempts you in the mind. He puts thoughts in you. Many times you don't want to have the thoughts, but they're there. And see, until you get saved and have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you think those are your thoughts. You think all those thoughts are yours. And many times you entertain them thinking that they're their thoughts when it's the devil tempting you, trying to draw you away from God and get you into sin. And also, there are people in the occult and evil people that speak word curses against you. You need to hold up that shield of faith because those word curses and things can affect you. And I won't go into that today. We've looked at that before. But anyway, all the fiery darts of the wicked, when you hold up the shield of faith, be careful what you say. Declare every fiery dart of the wicked is rendered null and void through the power and authority of Jesus' name and blood. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When I put on the helmet of salvation, I recognize, Lord Jesus, you're my salvation. I am forgiven. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Also, Lord Jesus, having received salvation, I claim my inheritance of total freedom in Jesus Christ from all demonic stronghold and bondages. And yes, Lord Jesus, I break every attack and assignment of Satan against me and my family through the power and authority of your name and blood. And Lord Jesus, I receive the full salvation of walking in divine health and wholeness in my spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, emotion, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I declare, Lord Jesus, you took all my infirmities, personal weakness, stresses. You bore all my sicknesses, pains, and diseases. And by your stripes, I was healed. I appropriate my full salvation, which includes perfect health and strength and wholeness from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And be sure, Satan wants to make you sick. Okay? Why did Jesus go around healing all sick people and casting out demons? Because that wasn't his will for mankind. And they were the things of the devil. We'll look at that in a minute. So I put on the helmet of salvation, and I claim all my benefits I have by being saved. And also I declare I have the mind of Christ. And Father, grant me the grace also to bring every thought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. Man. You know, I love the Lord, but I have thoughts that come that are not right, not good, not holy. And I have to cast those down. And I know you do too. Sometimes people think something's wrong with me. If I'm a Christian, I wouldn't have those thoughts. Wrong. The devil tempts everybody. It's what you do with those thoughts. Do you entertain them? Do you begin having vain imaginations? Well, then you really need to repent. But when you recognize those thoughts, cast them down. Say, nope, devil, not thinking that. I bring my every thought captive to the obedience to Jesus right now. And the sword of the Spirit. Now, this is the offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. Now, when we read about Jesus, how did Jesus defeat the Satan? Satan said something to him. Jesus says, nope, it is written. Here's what the truth is. You know, the battle today is for truth. You know, the last administration was an administration of lies, deception, and every wicked, evil thing. And I think it's being exposed now. Now we know it's proven that this was true. But if you were deceived by that, you need to repent. Lord, I was deceived. I thought that was good and right. I realize now that was wrong. Repent. Get that under the blood of Jesus. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Lord, give me discernment. Help me discern good from evil, right from wrong. And as you read the Word of God and yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to recognize when someone's lying to you and telling you things that aren't true and right. And anything that contradicts the Word of God is wrong and is a lie. So you need to know the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Get God's Word in you. And when things happen and the devil tempts you or people say wrong things, you tell them what God says. It is written. And that works. It worked for Jesus. It worked for the disciples. It works for you and I. And again, how do we put on all this armor? Prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So I say prayerfully by faith, and I go through this armor, and I take the old armor off, and Lord, I'm placing this fresh new weapon securely upon myself. And I always place it upon my wife and my children, their family members, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and many others I pray for also. But I have the authority to do that. Here it is, for all saints. So you need to do that too. You need to protect your family. Put the whole armor of God by them by faith if they're not doing it. You have the right to do that as the leader of the house, as a born-again, sanctified believer. Amen? And you know, it's just not here in Ephesians chapter 6. All throughout the Bible lets us know we're in a battle, and we have to deal with the devil. Peter tells us, 1 Peter 5:8, talking to Christians, people who were saved, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's right, our adversary as Christians, the devil. Notice what it says about the devil. Like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, if he's already got the lost people, Who's he trying to devour? That's you and I. Well, what can we do about it? Here it is. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. That means you're born again. You know what the Word of God says. You know what the truth is. And you resist him in the faith. Get the hint, Satan. It is written. Get the hint, Satan. I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? God has said this. No, devil. I'm not listening to you today. You resist him in Jesus' name. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, and here's the reality, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know the devil, through his principalities and powers and demonic imps, attack everyone? No one doesn't get attacked if you're a born-again believer. He's already got the lost people. He's trying to destroy the church, the Christians. So you got to put on the armor. You got to be strong. You got to know the Word of God. You got to have a prayer life. He tries to destroy all. And if you know very many Christians, you know some people have succumbed to the devil, been destroyed. Their Christian life has been shipwrecked. Well, that was the devil. And they just didn't understand how he worked. And what he did worked against them. Don't let that be you. Then verse 10, but the God of all grace. See, this is under the covenant of grace. You put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Everybody goes through stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So you're learning how to fight the good fight of faith, putting on the whole armor of God, winning the battles. And sometimes the battles are shit, but you stand. You don't run away. It's the devil who's going to run away. How do I know that? Remember James 4:7? Again, submit yourselves therefore to God. Step one. Step two, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, you need to have spiritual discernment. Know when it's the devil messing with you. And when you recognize the devil and it's not God, and you say, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you right now. I resist the devil. Get the hint, Satan, in Jesus' name. And you tell the devil to go, and he has to go, because you have authority over him in Jesus' name. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. So you stand, you submit, you resist the devil, and he runs away. You don't run away. Do you get the picture here? And we need to know that we don't open the door for the devil to do his wicked deeds against us. You know, I'm thinking of Ephesians 4 right now. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:26, be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So we're not to go to bed angry. We're to take care of things. Maybe agree to disagree. Forgive whatever we need to do. But don't go to bed angry, because notice the next verse, neither give place, Greek word topos, to the devil. You give him a beachhead. When you don't do things God's way and you go to bed angry and mad and with unconfessed sin, you give the devil a legal right to come against you and your household. You need to understand, well, the devil can't touch me, I'm a Christian. That is the most ignorant thing anyone has ever told you or you told yourself. You give him a legal right through your unconfessed sin. He has a legal right to attack you. You played in his kingdom. You went on territory that God forbade you to go on. You got to repent. You got to get that under the blood of Jesus and tell the devil to get out of here. But until you apply the blood of Jesus to that, he has a legal right to mess with you. I don't have time for it today, but you know, in Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What was Jesus saying? Jesus says, you have to forgive people when they do wrong against you. And folks, it's not a matter if someone's going to do something wrong against you. It's just when it's going to be the next time. And you have to practice forgiveness. And then Jesus tells a wonderful story about forgiveness, how God has forgiven us all our debts. And then when others sin against us, that's nothing compared to what God has forgiven us, and we have to forgive them. And what happens if you don't forgive? Well, the last part, verse 33, shouldst thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Okay, this story, and this doesn't happen very often in the Bible, Jesus gives us the moral of the story. What you need to know. Here it is, verse 35. So likewise shall my Father also do unto you. Put your name in the blank. If you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother his trespasses. You have to forgive. You must forgive. You ask Jesus to forgive you for all your sins, and he said yes. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, his blood. But he says to you and I, when people mess you around, just like I have freely forgiven you, you have to forgive them, or you will be delivered to the tormentors. What the tormentors are the demons that now have a legal right to afflict you because you're walking in unforgiveness. You see, sin, unconfessed and not repented of, is an open door for Satan to afflict you and your family. And it can be pretty rough and pretty terrible. You say, have you ever been in the hand of the tormentors? Yes, but I don't have time for the story. And I had to repent, and I had to forgive, and I had to bless that person. And then the tormentors had to go. They had no more legal right. You have to repent of your sins. When you sin, every day and every night, Holy Spirit, show me in any way I've sinned against you, dear God, or others. He exposes it. You repent. Get that in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, help me never to do that again. Do you understand that? So you put on the whole armor of God. You fight the good fight of faith. When you sin, you deal with it. You confess it. Remember 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that's good news. But we also have to forgive others. And when we sin, we say and do the wrong thing. Right then and there, stop. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting me. Lord Jesus, I repent now. Cleanse me by your precious blood and help me never to do it again. And he'll help you and strengthen you. And the devil can't now have legal rights to deal with you, to attack you because of that sin. Do you get the point here? We're in a battle. You have an armor. You can win. God expects you to win. But you know, if you're not saved, you can't win nothing. Do you know today that if you died, would you go to heaven? If you don't know that for sure, let's do business with Jesus. Dear God, I see it. I know that I am a sinner. I believe and understand that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. I'm asking you to forgive me, and I ask you to come into my heart and life and to be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you, Lord Jesus, both now and forever. Thank you for saving me. Amen. God bless you. Fight the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.